Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title of our message today is The Burden of Weariness, based on Psalm 23, verse 2, that reads, He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Well, today is sermon number 5 in our series on the 23rd Psalm. And we're zooming ahead to verse 2 of the Psalm. How about that? I've had a few people who have asked me, you're planning 18 sermons on these little 6 verses of Psalm 23? How? Because Psalm 23 is so full of rich meaning. And you know, there have been so many commentaries, so many books, so many works that have been produced on this series. For this particular series, I've been blessed by the insights of the Christian writer Max Lucado. Check some of Max Lucado's works sometime. He's a wonderful Christian writer. But I want to give you a list of consequences today, and I want you to guess the cause. Here are the consequences. It's been estimated that it affects 1/3 of all Canadians and even causes 10,000 deaths per year in our country. It annually costs the country of Canada an estimated $25 billion in loss of workers' productivity. Teenagers suffer from it and blame it on poor performance in school. Middle-agers face it, especially around the age of 40. And it affects over 50% of people who are over the age of 65. Any idea what's being described? The answer may surprise you. The answer is insomnia, the inability to sleep. We are a people who cannot rest. There are times I can't sleep. There are times you can't sleep. There are times we all need more peace and rest. No wonder that in this 23rd Psalm, we hear this about our shepherd in verse 2. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. If you haven't already done so, I encourage you to turn to the sermon outline on the back of your handout as we consider the burden of weariness. Far too often our bodies are tired, but we can't rest. Studies suggest that in this country, I couldn't believe it when I found this statistic. Studies suggest that we consume every week 10 tons of aspirin, sleeping pills, and tranquilizers. The solution seems so easy. Get some sleep. But we laugh and we say, we have to work so hard. We have to make more money. We have to climb more ladders. We have to achieve more success. We have to get ahead. Rest? Our motto was so often, it all depends on me. If I don't do it, it won't get done. I must figure it out. I must handle it. I must not rest until everything is as I think it should be. And we're tired because of this. Our minds are tired. Our bodies are tired. Our souls are tired. Jesus said something real clearly about this push, push, push way of living. He asked us a loving question. My friends, maybe he's asking you this question today. Are you hearing the question? He says, what does it profit? What does it profit a man to gain the whole world, yet lose his soul? We are a people who can be described as soul-tired. We know there's more to life than what we struggle with every day. We're a people described by Saint Augustine in his prayer. Listen to this beautiful prayer. My heart is restless, O Lord, until it rests in Thee. We are a people made for eternity, and we're asking eternal questions. What is the meaning of life? What is the meaning of my life? What is right? What is wrong? Does God really care about what concerns me? How and when will my life end? And what really is eternity? These are questions of the soul. And left unanswered, such questions will steal our rest. Those who study such matters tell us there's only one other creature on God's good earth that has as much trouble resting as we do. Not dogs, they doze. Not cats, they invented the cat nap. Even bears hibernate. And did you know there's an animal called a sloth that sleeps 20 hours a day? Good work if you can get it. Many animals, most animals, know how to rest. But there's one exception. And this animal just happens to be the subject of David's 23rd Psalm. Sheep. For sheep to sleep, those who study it tell us, everything must be just right. No predators lurking about, no tension in the flock, no bugs in the air, no hunger in the belly. But the truth is, and listen carefully to this, the truth is, on their own, sheep cannot find safe pasture, cannot ward off their enemies, cannot spray bug spray, cannot find a good food supply. Sheep need help. They need a shepherd to lead them, to guide them, to protect them, to help them to lie down in green pastures. Without a good shepherd, sheep cannot rest. And without our good shepherd, neither can we. In this 23rd Psalm, King David looks back at the time when he was a young boy taking care of sheep. And in verse 2 of our text, he paints a picture. Here's the picture. A flock of sheep on folded legs, bellies nestled deep in lush, tall grass, a still pond of water on one side, the caring, guarding shepherd on the other. And David writes about the Lord, our shepherd, and here's what he says. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Did you note the two pronouns before the two verbs? He makes me lie down. He leads me. Who's the active one? Who's in charge? The shepherd. He selects the trail. He prepares the pasture. The sheep's job? The only job of the sheep. Our job? To keep our eyes on the shepherd who gives his life to take care of us. Isaiah the prophet puts it this way in Isaiah 26, verse 3. O Lord, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. May I show you something? Look at the screen. What do you see there when you look at the screen? You see the dot, do you? The one single dark dot surrounded by the massive white screen. And what you see is the dot. My friends, isn't that our problem? We let the small dark mark eclipse the huge white space. We focus on our temporary hurt and problem and not the eternal faithfulness of God. We see the waves on the sea and not the Lord who's walking right through those waves. We focus on what little we have than upon the one who used a tiny bit of bread and a tiny bit of fish to feed the 5,000. We concentrate on the dark and painful Fridays of crucifixion rather than upon the bright Sundays of Easter resurrection and victory. Now, since we did all so well in the dot exercise, you can get rid of it now, Gabrielle. Let me give you another one. Let's consider the Ten Commandments. Of the 10 declarations carved in stone by God's own finger and given to Moses, which commandments take up the most space? Which have the most words? Murder? Adultery? Stealing? You'd think so. Each one has worth many words. But curiously, each of these commandments and most of the rest are relatively short. God only needed 5 English words to deal with adultery and 4 English words apiece to deal with murder and stealing. But when he came to the topic of rest, the topic of today's sermon in Psalm 23, a few words would not suffice. Listen to these words from Exodus chapter 20 about rest. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath for the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant, your maidservant, nor your cattle, nor the stranger who is within your gates, for in 6 days the Lord God made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and he hallowed it. 5 words on adultery, 4 words each on murder and stealing, but 107 words on our need to rest. My friends, God knows us so very well. He knows our need to rest in Him. He knows our need for Sabbath. By the way, Sabbath is simply the Hebrew word for rest. The day of worship is meant to give us rest. The goal of the Sabbath is not to quickly put in my hour at church so I can get about the rest of my day and do what's really important. No, God gives us a Sabbath day so we can rest. But we still object. God, if I rest, who's going to mind the store? If I rest, what about my grades? If I rest, I'm not going to get ahead. I've got too much work to do, too many places to go. I am just too important. Can't depend on anybody but myself to get done the important things in my life. We offer up one excuse after the other to decline God's gift of Sabbath rest. But God silences all of our excuses with one simple and clear statement. Listen again to Exodus 20. In 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and he rested on the seventh day. What is God's clear and simple message to each of us? If you've tuned out, now it's time to tune in. Here is his clear and simple message today. God says, if creation didn't crash when I rested, it won't crash when you do either. Would you please repeat these words after me? It is not my job to run the world. I can rest in the care of my good shepherd.
I can rest in the care of my good shepherd.
Psalm 23, verse 2 says, He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Did you know that green pastures were not the natural terrain of Judea? The land, by the way, how many of you have ever been to the Holy Land? Seen a few rocks, have you? Seen a little bit of desert, have you? The land around Bethlehem, where young David kept his sheep, was not naturally lush and green with grass. Any green pasture, even in that area today, is the work, the hard work, of the hands of a loving and caring shepherd. He cleared the rough and rocky land. He dug and lifted up rock after rock. He prepared the land, tore out and burned the thorny brush. He irrigated the desert with present water. He prepared a pond with still water for the sheep, sweet water for the sheep. These kinds of green pastures and still waters, my friends, don't just appear magically overnight. Now, what's the point? Such is the work of our good and faithful shepherd, the hard work with His own hands. With His own hands, with His nail-pierced hands, Jesus Christ our Lord has prepared for us a pasture for our soul. He tore out the thorny underbrush of our sin's condemnation and had it nailed to His own cross. He pried loose and cast away the big boulders of our sin. And how far did He cast them away? The Bible says, as far as the east is from the west. In the place of our sin and condemnation, our Jesus, our Savior, our Shepherd, planted the deep, rich, lush grass of His grace. He dug the sweet, still waters of His mercy. And to this green pasture of the soul, He invites you, I'm talking about you, to come today and to lie down. Can you imagine the satisfaction of a Judean shepherd when, after all his hard work is completed, he sees his sheep that he loves so much lie down in his green pasture and find rest? Well, can you imagine the satisfaction in the heart of God when we do the same? The pasture of His rest is His gift to us. It's not a pasture that you've made. It's not a pasture that you've deserved. It's a gift of God. I told the people in the Bible class this morning, I'd be ending the sermon with this verse. Here's a verse that tells us how much the pasture of our soul is a gift from God. Ephesians 2, 8 says this, "For it is by grace that you have been saved, through faith. This not of your own works, it is a gift of God." My friends, in this world in which we live, in a world rocky with striving and weariness, in a world that's a dry desert that sometimes exhausts our soul, Jesus, your shepherd, invites you to lie down in the deep grass of His pasture that He has prepared just for you. There your burden of weariness will be taken off your shoulders. There you will find true rest. in the name of Jesus.